A middle manager at your company lies regularly. Everyone knows it, yet he keeps getting promoted. You preach honesty in every meeting, display integrity on your office walls, and genuinely believe in truthfulness. But your culture, the real one, rewards deception. This jarring disconnect reveals a fundamental truth. Culture isn't what you say or what you believe. It's what people do when no one's watching. It's the invisible operating system running beneath every decision, every interaction, every crisis. And here's the uncomfortable part. You can't see your own culture clearly because you're swimming in it. But your newest employee, they see it instantly, in their first week, before they learn to rationalize the contradictions. Culture determines whether your company thrives or implodes, whether your strategy succeeds or fails, and whether talented people stay or flee. The question isn't whether you have a culture. You do. The question is whether you're deliberately shaping it or letting it shape itself. Toussaint Louverture, a 5'2" former slave from Saint-Domingue, led history's only successful slave revolt through cultural transformation. He converted voodoo songs into encrypted battlefield communications and embedded values through strict rules. Forbidding officers from taking concubines signaled, "If we can't trust you to keep your word to your wife, we can't trust you to keep your word to us." He transformed rebels with military uniforms and formal protocols, then radically integrated mulattoes and deserting French officers. When black soldiers objected to following whites, he mixed wine and water. "How can you tell which is which? We must all live together." After victory, he let plantation owners keep their land, establishing that prosperity mattered more than vengeance. He embodied his standards by sleeping with his men, personally moving cannons, and leading charges from the front. Though eventually betrayed and imprisoned, his cultural revolution succeeded. His army defeated Napoleon's attempts to reinstitute slavery, inspiring rebellions across the Americas. The samurai ruled Japan for 7 centuries through Bushido, the way of the warrior. Their most radical principle? Keep death in mind at all times. This wasn't morbid fatalism, but heightened mindfulness. Knowing life is uncertain makes you truly attentive. A samurai prepared impeccably because he might die at any moment. This awareness of mortality underpinned Japan's renowned culture of craftsmanship and meticulous attention to detail. The samurai defined culture as action, not belief, not values, but virtues actively pursued. 8 virtues formed their system: rectitude, courage, honor, loyalty, benevolence, politeness, self-control, and veracity. Honor represented their immortal essence. Without it, all other virtues became worthless. Their word was absolute truth, making written agreements unnecessary. The code endured through detailed case studies addressing every ethical dilemma. Unlike vague corporate values like "we do the right thing, period," Bushido offered specific scenarios, like someone leaving gold with you before unexpectedly dying, explaining multiple ways of doing right, while emphasizing that action matters more than motivation. At 19, James White entered prison for murder and joined the Melanics, a 200-member gang inspired by the Black Panthers and Malcolm X. When leaders violated their principles, White executed a psychological takeover using the Socratic method. If a leader does not follow his own instructions, is he a leader? After reading Malcolm X's autobiography, he became Shaka Senghor and transformed the gang through strict discipline, neat appearance, no profanity or substances, daily workouts. Unlike rival gangs using addiction for control, Senghor built power on belonging and commitment. When he ordered an execution, he recognized, "We were fucking savages." After members wanted to attack a football player over an accidental death, Senghor made each man confront their violent histories. He instituted mandatory shared meals, book discussions, and classes on emotional intelligence and trauma. His authenticity made this work, having maxed out what the fuck you can become as a savage. Members knew he genuinely wanted them better. After 10 years of freedom, Senghor became a best-selling author and prison reform leader, demonstrating culture's transformative power. Genghis Khan conquered 12 million square miles with just 100,000 men, more territory than anyone in history. Born to a kidnapped mother, surviving his father's poisoning and slavery, he united warring Mongol tribes through revolutionary meritocracy. His all-cavalry army moved rapidly, organized in 10-man squads, forming 1,000-strong brigades that replaced hereditary tribes. He assigned responsibilities based on ability and loyalty rather than kinship, abolished inherited aristocratic titles, and eliminated caste hierarchy. Shepherds became generals. Genghis redefined loyalty as bilateral, creating responsibilities for himself as leader, not just obligations from followers. Two horse wranglers who warned him of a plot became generals. An enemy archer who nearly killed him became an officer after explaining he was following orders. When Jamukha's men betrayed their leader for favor, Genghis executed them instead. His brilliance wasn't adding enemy soldiers to his ranks, others had done that, but treating them so well they became more loyal to him than their original leaders. He codified inclusiveness into law, outlawing forced marriages, declaring all children legitimate, introducing unprecedented religious freedom.
Creating effective culture requires authenticity rather than imitation. When managers try to be someone they're not, like newly promoted manager Stan turning authoritarian, they lose credibility. While being authentic is crucial, recognize which personal flaws shouldn't be programmed into company culture. Culture and strategy must cohere. Genghis Khan's egalitarian culture supported his cavalry-based strategy. Amazon's frugality aligned with Bezos's low-cost structure, while Apple's focus on beautiful design would have been undermined by excessive cost consciousness. Every strong culture requires that employees feel their work matters. Effective cultural virtues must be actionable, not abstract. When defining virtues, ask, can they be translated into specific actions? Do they distinguish your culture? Will you pass the test when these virtues are challenged? Telling the truth in business requires courage and skill. The solution isn't lying, but assigning new meaning to reality, stating facts clearly, acknowledging leadership's role in problems, and explaining how difficult actions serve the larger mission. Every large organization has hidden problems that get hotter the deeper they're buried. Creating a culture that surfaces problems requires deliberate action. Greet problems with enthusiasm. Require managers to share something on fire in the company. Conduct root cause analysis rather than blaming individuals.
Strategy decks and mission statements mean nothing compared to the invisible code determining what people do when no one's watching. You can't buy culture from consultants, copy it from successful companies, or fake it with perks. Culture is forged through shocking rules that embed values, leaders who embody standards rather than preach them, and costly decisions that demonstrate priorities. Toussaint Louverture transformed slaves into an army that defeated empires. The samurai created a code that ruled Japan for 7 centuries. Shaka Sengor turned prison savages into men pursuing emotional intelligence. Genghis Khan built history's largest empire on radical inclusion. These weren't accidents. They were deliberate cultural designs. Your culture will define your organization's destiny, whether you shape it intentionally or let it evolve haphazardly. The question isn't whether you'll have a culture. You will. The question is whether it will be the culture you need. What you do is who you are.